Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snow, and they call me the Hall of Fame trainer of present and future star. And coming to you live from snowy Pennsylvania, our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Okay, hello, Aaron. Yes, we had some snow in February, and the snow flurries a little bit today. But, yeah, we survived a few big ones. Could have been worse this week, actually, but we had some rain and whatnot. But, hey, it's winter, and, you know, it's like a month till spring. How about that?
Yeah, up in Erie, Pennsylvania, they're getting hit with a blizzard.
Oh, really? I thought we were going.
No.
I know that well.
Indeed. That lake effect. No. They're getting hit well in Erie, Pennsylvania. But, hey, look, man, there's a lot going on. And next week, man, is our big event that we're having in Pottsville, Bob. And we're going to have a few guests on, hopefully, today that are going to be participating. Did that with us later on in the show. But we got some boxing news around the world to look at. Right, Bob?
That's right, yes. And we'll a big heavyweight fight tonight, too, we'll touch on. But, yeah, we'll go around the world because we do have some guests coming on, like you said. So we'll start out today. We'll be back at the bubble again at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada, USA, where Miguel Burchell, 37-1, 33 knockouts, defends his WBC World Super Featherweight title against the undefeated 28-0 with 20 KOs Oscar Valdez. This fight was originally scheduled to take place back in December, but Burchell came down with a positive test for COVID-19. So we're looking forward to that fight tonight. Also on that card, unbeaten middleweight Esquivel Falcao, 27-0, 19 KOs, steps in with Artur Akhavov, 20-3, 9 knockouts. Also, super featherweight Gabriel Flores Jr., undefeated at 19-0, takes Jason Velez, 29-7-1 in a 10-round undercard lead-in. That's on ESPN and ESPN Plus, beginning at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Showtime will be at the Mohegan Sun Casino in Uncasville, Connecticut, for a big triple-header of 12-rounders with Adrian the Problem Bronner, 33-4-1, 24 KOs, taking on Giovanni Santiago, 14-0-1, 10 knockouts in a welterweight feature. Also, the great heavyweight fight I was talking about is Otto Wallin, 21-1, 19 KOs against Dominic Brazil, comes in with a record of 20-2, 18 KOs. Brazil weighed 261.2, and Wallin came in at 240.4. Also, super light Robert Easter Jr., 22-1-1, 14 knockouts, and Ryan Martin, 24-1, 14 KOs, also slug it out. Super bantamweight Ariel Lopez, 15-0-1, is showcased in Greenville, South Carolina. And super middleweight Travis Hanshaw, 16-1-1, headlines in Ashland, Kentucky. Also on that card is the battle for the vacant Kentucky State light heavyweight belt between Billy Yates and Jermaine King. Down the road is Shelbyville, Kentucky, the Francisco Emmanuel Torres, 15-3, versus Luis Hernandez, 8-1-1, super welterweight. Top closes the show there. Two unbeaten fighters top the bill in Miami, Florida, with Harold Calderon, 23-0, crossing the ropes with Jonathan Jose Inez, 25-14-1 in a welterweight matchup. And 27-0 middleweight Kanat Islam meets up with the 14-3-1 Jason Minda. The female super bantamweight clash between Melissa Odessa Parker, 3-0, and Maria Cecilia Roman, 15-4-1, tops the card in Orlando. Female featherweight Erica Cruz Hernandez, 11-1, and Leticia Uribe, 6-15, slug it out in Tijuana, Mexico. In Mexicali, it's Aniel Beltran-Vila versus Carlos Gorm in the super welterweight finale. And 10-0 light flyweight Anthony Clark stands in against Jesus Cervantes Villanueva in the feature in San Luis Rio, Colorado in Sonora. Down in Managua, Nicaragua, they'll see Freddie Lanez, 10-2 versus Brian Perez, 12-12-1 in the super bantamweight showtopper. Tyce Sports TV will be in Arroyo Seco, Santa Fe, Argentina, for the IBF Latino super lightweight title fight between the undefeated champion Gustavo Daniel Lemos, 25-0, 15 KOs, and the challenger Damian Daniel Fernandez, 13-2, 5 KOs. Argentina DirecTV will be live at Villa Carlos Paz in Cordoba, broadcasting the main event featuring 53-4-1 with 36 KOs lightweight Jorge Rodrigo Barrios versus Jonathan Victor Barros, 42-7-1, 22 KOs. Over now to Wembley SSA Arena in London, UK, on Sky TV and DAZN for three title fights, topped with David Avanesian, 26-3-1, 14 knockouts, defending his EBU welterweight crown against the 10-0-1 with 6 KOs Josh Kelly. The undercard highlights the Robbie Davies Jr., 20-2, 13 KOs, versus Gabriel Golaz Valenueva, 22-2-1, 13 KOs. They fight for the open IBF Intercontinental Super Lightweight strap. And Jordan Gill, 25-1, and Cesar Juarez, 25-9, both seek the vacant IBF International Featherweight crown. Valenciana in Spain, back in action tonight, headlining with the Carlos Ramos, 11-2, versus Ricardo Fernandez, 7-4, featherweight contest. Jean Casabulski, 14-0, 13 knockouts. And Onorioda Ayuwariame, 18-1, 17 KOs, vie for the open WBA International Heavyweight title in the feature in Hamburg, Germany. Eggenstein, Leo Polschaffen in Baden-Württemberg closes the curtain after the undefeated middleweight clash between 12-0 Alexander Rigas and the 11-0-2 Fatah Vukšinaj. 8-1 cruiserweight Martin Huben is showcased in Wuppertal in Nordrhein-Westfalen, and in Cologne, cruiserweight Raja Bigelstein is featured. Pomezia in Lazio, Italy, hosting Eric Watts versus David Cady, lightweight clash, and then Luca in Tuscany, super lightweights Marvin Domolari and Antonio Casali meet up. In the main event in Krasnogorsk, Russia, on Russian RENTV, pits 23-2 super middleweight Fyodor Chudinov against 26-7-2 Isaac Chalemba. And finishing up today in Binan City in the Philippines, big fight tonight, Robert Padadero. He's 18-0, 12 KOs, and Victorio Saldanar, 20-4, 11 KOs, fight for the vacant WBA World Minimum title. And there we go, 10 countries across the world, championship fights. And again, a good heavyweight matchup, too. We'll get to see Otto Wallin, who gave Tyson Fury all he could handle, a big eye cut against the Dominic Brazil, who only has the two losses as well, to Wilder and to Joshua. So that's going to be an interesting fight, too, to see. So that tops the card. Brichelle getting back in action tonight, too. So some good things to watch tonight.
Yeah, you know, with a lot of things going on with Don King, guy winning the WBA heavyweight title. And these two guys in there fighting for a matchup of a heavyweight tonight with that performance against Tyson Fury, he could be in the running, Bob, for something bigger down the line, you know. But, hey, yeah. Look, that heavyweight division, man, the fight that needs to happen, we say in this weekend, week out till it happens, Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua fight just needs to happen. You know,
right.
It needs to happen. It's going to be better for the sport. It's going to open a lot of – it's going to answer a lot of questions. Number one, to have a undisputed heavyweight champion, Tyson Fury wins, it'll be a undisputed, undefeated heavyweight champion. But if Anthony Joshua wins, you know, you have Olympian – winning the title, and it's simply just a great matchup, and we have to keep talking this fight up until it happens, Bob. Not too many times in where great fighters in their prime get to go up each other when they're on the best of their game. We felt that Wilder lost his opportunity when he was on the top of his game. He lost his opportunity, even though he fought Tyson Fury. We felt, when I was telling you and talking about his age, is that he was had on the other side of the mountain. A lot of people didn't look at it like that, but looking back, he is on the other side of the mountain. And as he continues to talk negativity about the people that were part of his team, when let me tell you, that blame game don't never work, is that you have to accept responsibility with whatever and whoever it is. Like Mark Breland has to accept the responsibility as a trainer, and Dante Wilder has to accept the responsibility as a fighter who gets in there and perform. And, you know, that's what Muhammad Ali and them were so great, is that you never heard Muhammad Ali, when he had lesser performances, say, well, Angelo Dundee, he didn't do that, he didn't do that. No, Ali took the full responsibility, said, you know, he should have prepared better, you know, this and that. Like when Leon Spinks, and God bless Leon, when Leon, only with 8 fights, came in and fought the fight of his life to beat Muhammad Ali. You know, Muhammad Ali said, man, this dude out-hustled me. He just came in just throwing punches and bunches, and Ali wasn't in the shape that he needed to be in to overcome a fight like that with a younger fighter like Leon Spinks. But in the rematch, Ali prepared, and he could match him because he was in better shape. And these are the things that we're trying to tell Dante Wilder and stuff. Just stop the blame game and go get in shape. If you're going to fight, train the right way and bring the performance and bring the right talk. You know, all of that blame game stuff, it don't work. You know, it may please your ego, but it don't work in the reality of things. You still got beat, man, and you're going to have to fight and learn to fight the better fight, and if you want to be champion again. And if you ain't willing to put that hard work and dedication in to learn to fight a better fight, you may never be champion again, because that's what it takes to be on top of that mountain, man. And when you're on the other side of the mountain going down, you know, everything hurts. And when them punches begin to start hurting, when you're training and you don't want to run and you don't want to do the exercise, you don't want to get in there and spar and stuff like that, and them punches begin to hurt, that's the end is near to a boxing career. So those are certain things you have to look at, Bob. But I'm glad to see tonight's fight on Showtime is that you have Broner going up against Santiago, which is good. He had to lose a lot of weight, but he's been in a lot of trouble. And we talked about him on the show before. You know, he's beginning to talk a little different. It looks like he seemed to want to take some responsibility on the things that are happening in his life and trying to straighten it up and try to change his character and get in better shape. You know, he's losing a lot of weight. They said he dropped 25 pounds or so to come in. This fight is supposed to be at 140, but it's going to be at 147. And we just hope when guys lose a lot of weight like that, Bob, coming down, a lot of times that means they're not in the great shape that they need to be in. It's torn into their muscle fiber to lose the weight. So the muscles, when you're throwing punches, you're not going to be able to get a lot of punches off, because now you're in the pit of conditioning when you should be on the upswing of condition going into a fight being strong. We just hope tonight that Bronner's able to put on a performance and bring out a win for himself so he can go back to the drawing board, Bob, where he can get those big fights that he's looking and saying to have with a Pacquiao, a Spence, you know, Gervonta Davis, all of those named big names down there in that 140, 147 area that he may be able to get. And Broner's, you know, his age, he's young. He ain't pushing in his late 30s, going into his 40s. He's in his early 30s. So there's hope for him, and I hope that he grabs onto that hope and change the way that he needs to change. Because, look, man, he's been fighting since he was a kid, Bob, and he's went through the amateur programs and things. Never no problem. And then something that, you know, he got tied up with the wrong crowd or whatever, start getting involved as he start earning money. He let that influence of the dollar bills in his pocket change him. And money should never, ever change you like that. where a good guy becomes a bad guy. You know, he should have kept being a good guy and doing the things that he knew he should have done with that Olympic experience, because that Olympic experience in the amateur program, they teach you about all this, man, when you're coming up. And he'd been through the program, and he ran through the mill. And he just has to draw back on the things that he learned as an amateur and stuff like that, things that guys that talk to him about, you know, how to better your career when you get money, you know, what to do, how to act. So he can come on and be the champion that he needs to be, Bob.
Right. And, you know, Santiago is a good matchup for him tonight, too. I mean, the guy's undefeated, got a lot of knockouts for his record, and there will be a good fight. And it's time we'll see what Santiago does. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see a real good fight tonight. It could go either way.
Yeah. Hey, look, for early in the season for boxing, we're just coming in the late of February, and Showtime is bringing the best there. But let me tell you, Bob, I, up there in Connecticut, I know it's snowing up in that joke of it. You know, with the weather and things, it got to be cold up in there with the storms moving across the country. So can we see a barn burner tonight where both fighters come in there and give it their best, what they have to offer tonight, and fight their heart out, and let it be a real thrilling event during this snowstorm? You know, when it's cold outside, sometimes we got the month of May, and a lot of people are viewing during cold weather, looking for entertainment while they're in the house with COVID-19 and all of this. And with the snow, you know, let's see if they can tune up those ratings by when people tune in, man, the fight is going well and they stay tuned in. So the young man can see some sparkle of hope in his life, man. That's what he needs at this time, man. See if he can pull it together and see if he can show that he's a real champion. He can deal with controversy.
And you know what? Great fight going on tonight, too, out in Vegas that we stopped the show with at the Burchell against Valdez. I mean, this was, again, I mentioned it was going to happen back in December, but it's happening tonight. And Valdez, of course, he's undefeated. He's a former champion, moving up to super featherweight to take on Burchell, who only has the one loss. And that's going to be a real nice fight, too, talking about the super featherweight and the featherweights as well, too. So Valdez, Burchell, we can't forget about that, too, tonight. That's going to be a good barn burner, too.
Yeah, that's going to be an excellent barn burner. We can't wait to see that. So we got a lot of activity in boxing, and, you know, like Cello and those guys, they're calling guys out. They're trying to get in the ring, you know. Yeah, you know, he's trying to call different fighters at, see if he can catch different fighters at a catch weight. We'll see what happens with him, Bob.
Right.
In the future, but the year is young. Let's see if we can get him going at like the super middleweight division, boy, which is 168 pounds, or, you know, if he's going to come back down to middleweight. But whatever, let's see how he's matched up, and let's see who he fights and how he's able to defend the title and see if he can keep on going to get those bigger fights that he wants.
Right. Yeah, you know, also, while we still have time here before we get to our guests, I just want to also mention the big fight coming up, the women's fight on the 5th of March coming up in Flint, Michigan. Clarissa Shields and Eva Marie DeCare, both undefeated fighters fighting for that super welterweight crown. And we just found out this week there'll be a limited number of tickets going on sale. They're on sale now, actually. There's only going to be 194 tickets, priced from $300, $225, and $150. It's going to only, like I said, a small crowd. It's not that big a place, too, in Flint, but it'll be Clarissa Shields' home crowd. You know that. With DeCare coming down out of Canada. But that's something we'll be talking about in the next couple of weeks. We just wanted to pass that along, too. And we have a couple of numbers, too. We want to just pass along the Richard Colme fight last week against Jackson Martinez. Now, that was supposed to be Joe Smith and Vlasov, but Vlasov got the COVID. So that was dropped. That was going to be a world heavyweight title fight. But Colme and Martinez ended up as the lead. And they peaked at 673,000 and an average of 584,000. for that one, too. Also want to go back to that Ryan Garcia-Luke Campbell fight a couple of weeks ago. They had a gate of 353,835, and that was from 4,218 fans. That kind of averaged out to $84 a piece. So looking at that price versus the price we're talking about there for Shields, it's a little bit higher, but, you know, this is a big fight for the women, too, because the care of the champion, undefeated, and this will be a good test for Clarissa Shields, again, a couple weeks from now, but looking forward to that. And don't forget, next week, too, while we're doing our gig here in Pottsville and down at the Deer Lake thing later on, we have, Canelo Alvarez fighting next weekend, too, so that'll be something to wrap around next week, too.
Oh, absolutely, Bob, and, you know, while we're doing that, we have our next guest hanging in the queue here, but before we get to him, Bob, with that, it's Canelo Alvarez is something special. You know, he's biting at the bit to get back in there and stay busy during those times. But, Bob, without further ado, we'll get to our talk about O'Brien and them later after we get done our guests. But without further ado, we'd like to welcome our guest, Pastor Vinny. How are you doing, Pastor? Welcome into the World Boxing Review Radio Show.
Absolutely wonderful. Hello. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me on your show. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we hear you fine. You're coming in very good, Pastor Vinny. Look, Pastor Vinny, there's a lot of things going on in the world today, and in the boxing community, we have a lot of people coming on with COVID-19, some have passed. We have our people on our show that overcome that. Let's get into, before we give a prayer for all of them, talk a little bit about you and your ministry, and then we'll get into the boxing community.
Yes, of course. Well, I'm an ordained man of God in service in Pennsylvania, and what we do is we help the community that is addicted, whether it be alcohol or drug addicted, folks that are veterans, folks that are coming from different hurts and hang-ups, and right now we've done so much counseling due to the virus. It seems like there's the mental health aspect of so many that even those that did not realize that they had any mental health issues that haven't come to surface have recently come to surface due to this virus. And that's not just men or women or marriages, children. We're going across the board. And I've spoken to several state troopers as well as police officers and probation parole officers, and they're saying that all the same thing, that they're dealing with and seeing more mental health than they are drug or alcohol related problems right now with the community and society. So our hands are full here. We also run a transitional housing for men and women. And we have a house we just opened for women that we help mothers, daughters, try to get back into society to be self-sufficient. We give them the tools and structure that they need to successfully come into society with a support group. One of our areas that we're proud of is that they have to be employable, and we want to get them back into giving back to the community that they've taken from and the community that supported them while they were in their recovery process. And it's been a joy, I tell you, to see mothers get reunited with their children and with their families.
Yes, it is. Pastor Vinny, it's always good when you see people go to struggle and strife and things and get back their feet on the ground in life. And when you can offer people jobs, and change their economic position that they're in, you can help them change a lot of the other things, is because when you empower people to learn to earn, and when they're earning, it helps change a lot of the conditions of poverty. And poverty has its all the details, as you well know. But also, Pastor Vinny, you're going to be down with us in Pottsville at the Majestic Theater, and down at the Fighters Haven, formerly Muhammad Ali's camp, in an interfaith service that deals with peace. And I want to thank you for wanting to be a part of that, and the people that you're bringing to the table with you. It's an indeed pleasure to ours to have you a part of the event. And because you are definitely something special, your view of life and your work in the community is second to none. And we want to thank you that. But we need some prayers, Pastor Vinny. And you're a good prayer warrior, and you know that prayer is not but the tool to change things. We have Iran Barkley in the hospital fighting COVID. Henry Hathcock. We want you to pray for Henry and his family. He's had a lot of struggles this year. Number one is passing of his son, Pastor Vinny. Then his sister passed with COVID-19, and the whole family caught it. And he's fighting another sister, child. But those are some of the issues we're dealing with in the boxing community, Pastor Vinny.
Yes.
Give us one of them good old prayers that you know how to pray so it goes out through the world and our local communities that seek some type of healing for us.
Yes, indeed. Yes, it would be an honor. If we'd like to bring our Holy Father into our presence this afternoon. And Father, we'd like to thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you give each and every one of us every day when we raise up. And we just want to send out a special prayer, Father, for the boxing community, for Leon Spinks' family, and, Father, for Iran Barkley, for Henry and his family, Lord. We just are fighting this virus, Lord, that your word has said that there will be a plague and a virus that will come into the lands. And, Lord, we're just asking everyone to come together in prayer for these families and so many other families that are not represented here today or have not been spoken of. This is going out to them as well. Father, we call upon healing because you said by his stripes that we are healed. And we just believe that within the unification of our counties, of our communities, of our countries, that we can all come together and support one another, bring each other together to support and pray for one another, and just, Lord, just help everybody get through this rough time that we're all going through. So we pray for these folks and these and some of the families, Lord, that are suffering with this virus, that are financially in a struggle. And for all that are in Texas right now that are going through the lack of water and the electric and the struggles that they're going through. So let's keep all in prayer today and in remembrance, and we ask this as we always do, in Jesus Christ's namesake, amen.
Amen. Well, you know, amen. Henry, you know, Bob, who's on air with us right now, his family, he two deaths, I believe. Is that right, Bob? Is it two people died?
Yeah, well, actually, if I Yeah, my brother-in-law, technically. I mean, we're not married. Me and my girlfriend, Denise, have been together a long time. Her brother passed away back on Halloween from COVID-19. It was one of those things. He was in a nursing home. And, you know, it's 2 weeks. Man, you could be dead in 2 weeks. I tell people that when, you know, they're asking about either what to do as far as, you know, whether I should wear a mask. I said, we could be dead in 2 weeks. So, you know, it's up to you. As far as that's concerned, you know, I mean, in all seriousness, that's how fast your life can change.
Yes. And, you know, Bob, even if you wear a mask or you constantly keep your hands sanitized and you go through all of the protection methods that we're told to do, that there are many that still contract this virus and You know, I think you're right. I think, you know, we don't know when it's our time, regardless of this virus. But you can take so many precautions and still get this virus, from what I'm understood. Is that correct?
Yeah. Right, from surfaces, anything, doorknobs, and we talk about it all the time. You know, gas pumps, especially, that's a big one. Doorknobs, you know, just going into the local Turkey Hill 7-Eleven, whatever you got around, you know, the convenience markets, you know, Everybody's pulling on the door handle. And one of the big things about the mask, too, is one of the things that people don't really talk about too much is that it protects you so that if you do touch something, you know, I heard a lady doctor up there at the big Geisinger, it's a big hospital here in eastern Pennsylvania, and she was on the air one time with another show I was doing, and they were talking about how if you touch something, you know, how many times do you touch your nose during the course of a day, you know, and you're breathing in something you might have touched. That's how it really goes, you know, as far as the transmission. So that's part of the precautions, too. And, you know, like we've talked about, too, Aaron, even like you said, when you're working out, change your clothes, you know, take your shoes off and put them somewhere, you know, where they're not going to be scraping maybe a virus through the house or something like that. And it's really, you know, it's an invisible killer, you know. I mean, it's as close as you can get to it, you know.
Yeah, well, Pastor Finney, when you're up against something that's invisible, this is when our Lord comes into play. You know, how great is he that deals with the unseen forces that we're up against. And he has the tools through prayer and asking for guidance and protection to bring them angels to us to help fight those unseen forces. You know, tell us a little bit about that, Pastor Vinny, and how faith, how you control all of that.
Well, you know, this is a time where all faiths need to buckle down and come together in prayer. Prayer is one thing that we all have, regardless of your faith. And, you know, with faith, you have hope. And this is what a lot of our folks are hanging on to right now, because, you know, you can be as poor can be, but be rich in your faith and hope, you know, and sometimes that is what gets you through each day. So it's something that we can always count on, that we, in all of our faith, that our God will see us through. But it starts out with us coming to him in prayer and having some faith that he'll see us through that day. You know, one prayer that I had a few of our women in our program would say, Pastor, I just don't know how I made it through that day. And I said, well, it was that day that your God carried you and your prayer, you know, and that's how we bring, that's what, where we get our strength from. That's where we, those of us that have faith, when we use prayer, you know, our God says that I will hear every prayer. Every prayer will be heard from the sinless to the sinner, and we stand upon that. That's the rock that we all need to grab a hold of.
Yeah, absolutely, Pastor Vinny. And you know my mother very well. Like she all the time says, she says, you really don't know how rich the Lord is. And she
That's
says
right.
that we couldn't even stand if the Lord didn't hold our hand. We're asking to stand and that the Lord hold our hand. And people say, why you have this with the pastor on a boxing show is because we're in the fight of our lives right now. And faith
That's
is
right.
what brings us through when you're in a big battle, you know. These are the times where people have to come together and seek out the Lord. It's because we're treading territory that all of us have never seen with something, this unseen force that's bringing us down. And the Lord says that he will not change the condition of mankind until mankind starts to change the conditions within themselves to seek peace.
Yes.
Of the end of battle of good versus evil that's in all of us. And then once we win that battle of bringing ourselves peace, then we're able to go out in the community and spread the peace. And this is what God wants us to do. And then when we start
yes.
doing that, our brother and sister, our Jewish brother, our Christian brother, our Muslim brother, our Muslim sisters, our Christian sisters, our Jewish sisters, when we all come together with the salam or salam or peace be unto you, what Jesus said in his ministries as he did all around the world, then the
yes.
conditions of mankind begin to change overnight, and those unseen forces start to flee and be killed off, and then the conditions begin to change. And Pastor Vinny, you know, that's what we're looking out, and we want to thank you, Pastor Vinny, for coming on the show. If you have more time, you can hold on, and we'll talk again. We have our next guest here, but we want to thank you so much, Pastor Vinny, for coming on the show, and we're going to see
yes.
you next Saturday, God willing. And boy,
yes.
are we going to have our interfaith prayer service, man. It's a beautiful thing. And Pastor Vinny, you're a beautiful person. And thank you so much for bringing those prayers on the World Boxing Review radio show.
Well, Aaron, thank you so much for having me on. Bob, I'll keep you and your family in prayer. And Aaron, let's not forget the majority of boxers that have faith, that say a prayer before they get into the ring. You know, let's keep our community, our country, and those close to us in prayer. Thank you so much, Aaron. Have a blessed day, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pastor Vinny. Yeah, Bob, man, what
yeah.
great, man. Pastor Vinny, what a prayer he put on us. But someone else that's going to participate on the musical side, Bob, you know, like you used to do up at Phoenix 1450, we have Fajr Khan. Welcome into the World Boxing Review radio show. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we can hear you fine. Can you hear us all right?
Yeah, I can hear you great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, hey, look, next Saturday is your day, our day, and all of our day, where we're going to bring something mm-hmm. special to the community, and we're going to try to heal it through song, dance, music, prayer, charity. We're giving the whole nuts and caboodle, right? Ain't that right, Bob?
That's right. We're
trying to bring it, but our entertainment is you, Fajr. Talk a little bit about your band with you and Ali, man. Talk about you and the band, and maybe you can play something for us with one of your songs.
Sure. I'm really excited about next week. I'm so happy you invited me. I'm so grateful because, you know, because of COVID, we haven't had a lot of shows recently. So it's nice to finally be able to get out there. And I know it's going to be virtual and everything, but there's going to be a few people there. So I'm really excited about it. I'm from Schuylkill County, born and raised. Aaron, you've known me my entire life. I'm in a duo, actually. It's me and a friend from college. His name is Ali. So that's the name of the group is Fajr plus Ali. And
not Muhammad Ali, but Ali.
Yeah. A different kind of Ali. But it'll be very fitting, I think, for the event next week. And, you know, we met in college in New York City, but then it wasn't until a little bit after I graduated. I actually studied music and theater in school. I went to school in New York as well as in Reading at Alvernia. And it wasn't until after I graduated we kind of got back together and we, you know, started writing music. And, you know, we're both Muslim. So it's mm-hmm. Going into music was kind of a big deal for us, just, you know, getting out there because there aren't a whole lot of, you know, Muslim musicians, especially pop musicians. So we kind of started with the hope that, you know, we can help create a more diverse music industry and everything like that. So we, you know, had our journey. We made our first EP. We released our first album. We performed, you know, all over the place. So, and most of our band is actually based in Schuylkill County. Our drummer is a guy, Nate, who I went to high school with at Blue Mountain High School. Most of our band has actually gone to Blue Mountain High School. So it's really nice. I think we have very strong roots in Schuylkill County. We practice in Schuylkill County. You know, I was born and raised there. So to be able to, this is actually our first performance ever in Schuylkill County. In all this time.
Yeah,
why not?
It's the first time for everything.
Exactly. And you know, it's crazy. We performed all around Schuylkill County. We performed in Reading. We performed in Allentown. But for some reason, it's never happened. And so we're really grateful, and we're so excited that you guys kind of created this opportunity. And hopefully, it's going to be the first of many.
Yes, it is. But you went to school, you studied music, you know, you did the whole opera thing and all that, right?
What kind of
music? Just let people know, you know, that's something special that you have.
It is, yeah. So I studied musical theater. It was a little bit more focused on the theater side than the music, but I did, you know, I did take music classes and singing and stuff. So yeah, we did have to do a little opera, a little bit of everything. But you know, I studied theater hoping to become an actress, but I wear a hijab, I wear a headscarf, and so I was signed with an agency in New York, and you know, I went to a few auditions, and my agent, he told me, he's like, you know, it's going to be really hard to find you roles, you know, with a hijab, so maybe you should think about going into music. He goes, I think the music industry will be a little bit more forgiving. So me and my friend, we got together. He's also an actor as well, so my agent knew him. He knew that we had sang together before in college just for fun. You know, just it was always just kind of a hobby. It was never – I had never in my life thought, oh, you know, I'm going to be in a band. I'm going to be, I'm going to be a singer. And here I am now a couple years later, like, you know, how many years later, and I'm loving every second of it and just, you know, writing music and going around and performing. So, yeah, and I think my theater performance comes in handy a lot, especially when it comes to performing live.
Yeah, do you got any of your music queued up that you can play for us?
You know, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to, because I don't know how I would play it through.
Okay.
If I play it through my
phone. All right. That's for people to come next Saturday from 12 to 3, so they can really hear you sing, and they can really hear you get down.
Definitely. Yeah, I really wish I could play it through, but what I can say for anyone who's listening, you know, you can search us on, you know, if you just plug our name in Google, on Spotify, on YouTube. The name of our group is Fajr Plus Ali. So that's my name, Fajjr, and a plus sign Ali. And then on social media, it's just Fajjr Plus Ali. Just spell out the plus. So Fajr Plus Ali. You can find us. You can stream us on Spotify, iTunes, or I guess Apple Music now, YouTube. We're on Instagram, Facebook. We're all over the place. So for anyone who wants to check out our music, we would love for that.
Yeah. Any questions for Fajr Bob?
Yeah. Hello. Just one thing. This is Jay, because Aaron's alluded to me a few times in the past about the show. Used to have a radio station here in Schuylkill County and things, and we used to have a Saturday afternoon program where we featured local artists. And one of the big things I used to ask the people was inspiration for writing. You know, where do you get your inspiration from when you guys sit down to write a tune, and how does that creative process work?
That's an awesome question. You know, it's been a very unique, very, very unique experience for us. And I think our story is kind of really what has helped us to be as successful as we are, because I think we have a very unique story. And like I said, the story, you know, how I told you about I was an actor, and my manager said to me, you know, I think you should just go into music. I feel like our music career was a little backwards, in the sense that most musicians are, you know, growing up, playing music, practicing in their garage with their friends, and then, you know, trying to get out there. Whereas with us, we were thrown into a studio first. We didn't even have a song when we met, you know what I mean, when we started. So our first song was written kind of just as it was almost out of necessity, because our manager said, you need to become musicians. And we both had have background in music, in singing. And, you know, Ali is, he's an amazing, you know, pianist. He plays the saxophone. He grew up in band, in, you know, in his school band. So, but we had been acting for so long. So, and we had never together written anything. I had never written a song in my life, if I'm being honest with you. So, kind of just, we got thrown in a room and we had to write. So Ali, you know, came up with our first song. Ali kind of, you know, he came up with it. He brought it to me. I wasn't really comfortable with songwriting. So after that, it was really, it was a steep learning curve for us to figure out, you know, Ali was doing a majority of the songwriting in the beginning because he had a little bit more experience than I did. And I was just, you know, lending my strength, which is my vocals. But then once we actually went out to Los Angeles to work with a producer in Los Angeles, his name is Shafiq Hussein. And he's actually a Grammy Award winning, you know, producer. He's worked with he works with Erykah Badu. He's worked with Anderson .Paak. So like a lot of like well known names, and he's a really amazing guy, and he kind of helped us a lot to grow. But at one point I will say this, he literally, when we needed to write a song, he put the beat on a loop and then locked us in a room. He locked us in a room for a couple hours, and we didn't realize he was leaving. He was like, "I'm just gonna step out for a second," and he literally locked the door. I was like, "Okay, I guess we have to write a song." So, you know, from that moment, but it was really a beautiful thing because that was the first time when Ali and I really realize that we could write a song together. And it's really cool the way we do it, is that, you know, we'll have the music, or, you know, Ali will have piano, and, you know, I'll come up with a verse, he'll think of a chorus, I'll come up with a bridge, and we kind of just shove it all together at the end. So it's really interesting because, you know, a lot of times our verses will sound different. We won't have two completely similar verses. They'll, you know, the melodies will be a little bit different, and that's usually because he wrote one and I wrote the other. So that so far has kind of been our process, which is, and it's growing, it's evolving, and we're getting ready to write some new music this year, and I'm really excited because I think it's only going to get better, you know?
Yeah. Look, in the set you're going to be doing at the event, what are some of the names of the songs that you're going to do?
Sure. So so we have our very first song is called Without You. And that, you know, that's a song. It's a good, you know, heartbreak song. It's not too sad, but it's upbeat, but it's kind of a little sad. And that's the first song we ever wrote. So we love to perform that one because I think, you know, it has a special place in our heart that it's the first song we ever released. We also have a song called First Part of a Dream, which we have a video out for. And that song is, you know, really important because Ali and I, one of the things that kind of brought us together as writers, as musicians and as friends is we both lost one of our parents. My father passed away from cancer. His mother passed away in a car accident when we were both in college, when we had kind of just met each other. So that song we actually wrote about our parents. And, you know, it sounds, I know both of these songs sound sad, but it's more so about, you know, and I think it's kind of a nice tribute for the event because, you know, we're talking about people in history, especially notable Black figures in history and, you know, people who have passed away but are still kind of there and, you know, they're very special. And the idea of, like, seeing these people in your dreams and kind of really thinking about them very lovingly. So I think it'll be a nice song for that day.
Well, one thing I can say, Farja, is that your father, as one of the top ear, nose, and throat surgeons, not only in Schuylkill County but in the world, he was phenomenal what he did for medicine in Schuylkill County. So I know he's well missed by a lot of people that had went to him and people that he helped. He did a lot of charity work too for people who needed work from a doctor. He did a lot of charity things like that. Your father was second to none in medicine and the things that he did in the community to help people. So I know it's something that's dear to your heart because your father was special.
Thank you so much.
And the same like your mother is special too in the work that she does in the community. So,
yes, she
and
is.
Your mother's your manager. She does something with you with your group, right?
you know, she is my manager. She is my number one fan. She is my benefactor. She is my lead investor. She is my mother. Like, I would not be anywhere without my mother. Like, even just, you know, talking to you right now, she is, like, she, like, Fudger plus Ali would not exist without my mother, Rubina. So I think, you know, and I really appreciate everything you said about her and about my father. He was very special. And, you know, I worked at his office right there on Center Street in Pottsville. So it's Dr. Uckford's office. He's still there. So it'll be nice to be at the Majestic Theater just down the street.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's something special, and all the work that your mother did to help with all the groups and stuff that we come together with to help so we can do this event. It's something special that we're able
absolutely.
To do this. And next Saturday, Bob and myself and the World Boxing Review, before the meals start getting served, we'll be on the air live. So we'll have different people coming on and sitting on while we're preparing to bring this live, and people will be able to see it on YouTube, Twitter, and we're going to Zoom it too. They're just working
excellent.
Out the final details, and we'll have it in the can. One thing that we do is that even at the different Hall of Fames, Bob, we do film. And so we will have it archive this event too, so we can edit it and stuff like that. Will Williams, who does the editing and the filming, he'll have it together, and people be able to see this mighty group, Fajr and Ali, or Ali Fajr, whatever, however you say it. It's something kind of special what y'all doing. We want to thank you for taking the time this morning to come on the World Boxing Review radio show. We got to get back to, you know, our boxing things, but we wish we could have more time with you. But this segment has come to an end. We got to finish up some boxing stuff that we had prepared today. Any more questions, Bob?
No, we're good. I can't wait for next week, though. That'll be so cool. Yeah, definitely.
I can't wait either. Thank you guys so much for having us, and I'm really excited, especially to go bringing it back to boxing, to go to Muhammad Ali's camp, and to be a part of that as well. So I'm really excited just to be a part of the whole event, and thank you guys so much for having me on.
Yeah, you met Muhammad Ali when you were young.
I did, actually. I think I probably did a few times.
Yeah.
So that's another reason why this is so relevant to me, is just, his camp being a part of my childhood and my family and my mom going there and you guys being there is just, like, it's so crazy. It's such a wonderful kind of full circle event to be a part of this.
Yeah, and Muhammad Ali Jr. is going to be there, Muhammad Ali's son. He's coming in for the event. So it's very special, and it's going to be a special day. And with prayers and all of that from different members of the interfaith community, Pastor
Vinny
was just on before. Yeah, and for everybody to come in to rejoice for this day through this time is indeed something special in Schuylkill County. And we're just happy that we can help bring it to the people. There's an old saying that Don King said, for the people and by the people, my magic lies in my people ties. And I'm tied in with a lot of good people. And it creates the mystical part of it all. So thank you, Fajr, for coming on the World Boxing Review radio show.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to seeing you guys next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
See,
hey, Bob, wasn't that something,
bye-bye.
Man? All right. Bob.
Yeah, good.
As they say in show business, we got a really big show. We got a really big show, Bob.
Yeah, that's going to be great next week. You know, looking forward to the Tex-Mex chili, too.
But, Bob, look, man, we got some people, that came into Schuylkill County to Pottsville to fight, Philadelphia Jack O'Brien had a few visits. On the pots. Let's talk a little bit about Jack O'Brien, man, since we're on that.
Yeah, the funny thing about it, he was actually born as Joseph Francis Hagen. And he had a brother named Jack O'Brien, too. So he, Philadelphia Jack Bryan, he was born back in 1878 on January 17th and passed away in 1942. And he had a lightweight, he was a light heavyweight champion of the world. He had defeated Bob Fitzsimmons, a 13-round knockout. He's in the Hall of Fame, but his overall record, 145 wins, 16 losses, 28 draws, and 5 no contests. He had 51 knockouts. And, you know, one of the things that when you look over his history, you see that he had fought Jack Johnson to a 6-round no decision back in 1909. So that puts him right there in the game. But, you know, as far as those Hall of Fames, yeah, Ring Magazine, 1968, World Boxing Hall of Fame in 87, and the IBHOF in 94. So he was a great fighter, fought also as a heavyweight and a middleweight. And as we mentioned, he was from Philadelphia. And he did come up through here. He had a few exhibition fights. And, you know, he fought around this whole area down in Reading and other places such as that. And, again, Pottsville, Tamaqua, which we talked about last week with the armory there. And, you know, he was well-known. And he was actually a guy who had fought people like Jeffries. He had fought. He had beaten a lot of these other guys. Let's see some of these other bouts he had. Sam Langford. He had
That's
fought,
right.
And Daniel Ketchel he fought,
right.
And Bob Fitzsimmons, we talked about him before. Also, the other Joe Walcott, Barbados Joe Walcott.
Oh, yeah.
These guys, it's great that we touch base on this. I don't feel like Henry Haskell does. He's the ultimate in the history, but, it's fun for me to go look through some of these names, too, and come up with some of these classic old names that people might not know. You know, and the funny thing about the, I believe it was the Johnson fight, it was Jack Jeffries was the referee for that fight.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
And look, Bob, Jack Johnson spent a lot of time sparring O'Brien in Philadelphia in the area. And we know that Jack Johnson fought in Reading and came into the coal region in Pottsville because a lot of the black heavyweight champions came through Schuylkill County and fought in Pottsville, like George Gray. He came through Pottsville, fought in Pottsville, and Jack Johnson fought in Reading. And we're going to be talking about all of that. We don't want to give in the things that we're going to be talking about, but that's just a touch on a little bit of the subject matter dealing with the local stuff that happened. You know, something happened with Jack O'Brien in Pottsville where, you know, they had to go to trial and they beat the case and all of that with somebody from Pottsville. You know how it is. One of those Schuylkill County things, one of those Schuylkill County trials, it turned out to be, but they beat the case.
Right. I wanted to just correct myself, too. That was Tommy Burns' fight that he was fighting back in L.A. back in 1906. It was a 20-round draw, and that was the one that was refereed by Jim Jeffries. And then he fought Burns again, and he lost a 20-round. But 20-rounders, we're talking about, you know, 20-round fights and 13-rounders, you know, those old days. He used to fight those nice long fights like that. But, yeah, great name to pull up. Philadelphia Jack O'Brien, I say if you have trouble finding him, don't forget his name was Joseph Francis Hagen. There's some references throughout the Internet with that, too. But, you know, he was a classic guy. Again, fought up here in Schuylkill County. And we keep trying to find out some of these old fighters that made their way through here as we progress.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of this happened when coal was king and boxing was it, because money was floating around a lot. You know, like we say in Schuylkill County, you got that good old fashioned money hit in the ground and in the walls. So you really don't know how much money that they got. But, Bob, we got 60 seconds in closing. We want to thank our Pastor Vinny for coming on the show today. He's going to be with us next week. And Fajr Khan, a local musician that's going to be with us next week performing and all that. Bob, we got a really big show next week. So we ask people to come on down to the the Majestic Theater from 12 to 3, and Fighters Haven from 5 to 8, where the interfaith prayer services and things are going to be going on. But, Bob, thank you for that beautiful trip around the world, as you do week in and week out, second to none, first class, Bob. And thank you so much for taking us on that ride. And, hey, we have people pray for Henry Haskopf, our boxing historian, man. We keep praying for you, Henry, getting stronger. We're going to keep praying for you. God bless you. And, same time next week, 11 to 12. Thanks.
See you later. Thanks. Bye-bye.